Good that everybody can hear me all right. All right. My name's Scott Hebron. I grew up right here in Tallahassee, Florida. My dad used to do Hebron's appliance repair. I don't know if y'all ever got anything fixed by my dad. His name was Dick, a little short guy telling jokes all the time. But he's pretty known around Tallahassee. I sent this schedule to him the other day. I go up to Texas for 12 days on a prison schedule. I've been going up there about 10 years, once, maybe twice a year, slowed down a little bit during COVID, but picked back up last year and caught COVID when I was up there. What do you expect when you visit with 2,000 guys? You know what I mean? You're probably going to get it. So that's what happened, but I was all right. Got it at the very end, and I didn't get caught till I got home with it, you know, so God took care of it. At least it didn't happen on my first day, you know, right? But I go up there, I was sending the schedule at May 19th and 20th, I go over to a Robertson unit, and I'll meet about eight or nine other, I am an ex-convict, so I'll meet up with about eight or nine other ex-convicts, and we'll go door to door to about 1,000 cells in 2 days, and it'll be all day long. We'll wear ourselves out so bad that it's just not even funny. Some of the other guys that are a little bigger and older, they have to sit down, you know what I mean, three quarters of the way through and can't even climb the stairs anymore, you know what I mean? But we go at it as quick as we can, as hard as we can the first 2 days, and then I leave off from them, and then I'll go do stuff by myself. I'll go over to a place called the Wallace Unit on May 21st, the next day, and I'll do a chapel service from 10 to 12. I got 30 minutes to get next to the Daniel Unit. That's about 30 minutes from there. I got to do the service from there from 12:30 to 2. From there, I go to May 22nd. I go to the Roach Unit. I'll do two chapel services, one from 10:30 to 12 in the morning. And then I'll eat dinner with the guys or with the staff or something right there on the compound. And then I'll do a service with the gang members and stuff. We call them the G4s. And it's the worst people that are segregated off from the rest of them. And I'll talk to them for an hour and a half. And then from there, I'll go over to May 21st, I go to the Daniel Roach Unit. May 23rd, I'll go over to the Clements Unit. I'll do a chapel service over there from 12 to 2. They've got a chapel they just built from the outside church, paid $1 million to build them a chapel. That we've been doing services in the gyms for years, and now they got this brand new chapel over there. So I'm excited. I'll probably have 200 or more guys come out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just be slap full. When I go to Texas, these gyms are just slap full of guys. You know, chairs everywhere. Just, they do praise and worship out of this world. Bands in there, and have a good time over there. After I get through at the chapel service, then I'll go visit confinements for the rest of the afternoon. I've been doing that for 10 years up there. So I'll go cell to cell and visit with the guys. Some of them already got my book up there. I got tracts that I put up there. Before I go up, sometimes I'll have people pass them out under the doors. And then when I leave that day, I'll go to the Wheeler Unit from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And then I'll go to the Formby Unit from 1 o'clock till 2:30. And then I'll leave there and drive about 3 hours the same day and get to the Smith Unit and do service from there from 6 to 8. I'll take a four-hour drive from there the next day and go to Fort Stockton. This is a brand-new service. I lost two of my prisons because they closed down, so I had to pick one up 4 hours away. I had everything about 3 hours away and in, so I had two extra days, so I picked one up 4 hours out, and I'll just spend the night, you know, before that one, so I ain't driving 4 hours from there or anything, and I'll get me a motel down there. But I'll go to Fort Stockton, be a new prison. May 26th will probably be a rest day, or I'll pick something up as I'm down there and fit something in as I'm going along. And then May 27th, I'll go over to the Mumford Unit. I'll visit the confinements from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and then I'll do a chapel service from 6 to 8. The day after that, I'll go over to the Dale Hart Unit. It's about 3.5 hours out, but I got to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning, so I'll get a motel that night before so I can be there. No, at 7:30, I got to be there. So you got to work everything out, and then after that, I'll come on home. But I've been running for Jesus for a long time. I visited every prison in Florida that would let me in, probably 80% of them, all the way down from Miami up to Century. I've written books, tracts, and sent DVDs out to every prison, jail, and rehab in the United States. Got five ex-convict testimonies I got from five or four of my buddies. And I got tracks that I put out in every prison, jail, and rehab. I probably put out a million of these tracks already. I only put out about 2,000 DVDs. They're a little more expensive. I put out about 15,000 books. I don't have any going out right now, but there's still some floating around out there. And then I have a devotional we did. We just, the other people put 60,000 of these out into the prisons. A devotional written by about 7 or 8 ex-convicts to help those in prison. The reason I do this is obvious. I've been to prison, right? You don't do a ministry that God hadn't called you into and brought you some experience through, right? Isn't that the truth? And grew up here in Tallahassee doing everything wrong. I'm not going to stick on my testimony. I'm not proud of anything I did by far. But when you don't know no better, and you don't have God in your life, and you're an enemy with God, what do you expect? You know what I mean? The very worst is going to come to you in life. The very worst is going to come to your family. The very worst is going to come to everything you touch. Because God's not on it. And I rebelled against God ever since I was young. By the time I was 14, I had robbed everything within a mile radius. I hadn't been to school in 2 years. I'd been out with every girl in the neighborhood. I'd beaten up every kid on the top of the hill. And boys on the bottom of the hill were protected. You know, and did nothing good. Stole from my mom, my dad. Just chaos from the word go, from the word you wake up till you go to bed, tearing stuff up, destroying stuff, being obnoxious, hanging out with guys all day long, all night, doing all the worst things you can imagine, you know. And by the time I got to 14 years old, I'd already hit. I was out skipping school again. I borrowed my buddy's Yamaha RD400. I was 14 years old, and I was going to go pick up some drugs for us and come back. And I told him it was in the apartment complex, so I was heading 10 miles away. So I had that old Yamaha D400 kicked down, and dump truck old Jimmy Crowder pulled out in front of me. I hit him going 80 miles an hour. That stopped me for about a week. You know what I mean? About a week, maybe a couple of days. But still up in the hospital, you know, up in traction, my leg up in traction. During that time, I had died. I had my femur bone went through my artery.
Wow.
So I died, but somehow the bone got lodged back in the artery, and they came and operated on me. Like 4 hours later, they put me in the morgue.
Wow.
Tagged me and put me away. But by the grace of God, and during that time, I just remember one thing, is that I went from I was up in the clouds all of a sudden, and I was laying down, and then I came to a sitting up position very quickly, and there was a figure off in front of me, and I was just screaming everything I could at him that he wasn't taking me, it wasn't going to happen. And that's all I remember, and I came back to whatever happened, and was in the hospital, cussing the nurses out every day, all day long, telling them to bring me hamburgers. Did drugs in the hospital room the whole time I was there. Didn't care about nothing. Smoked all I wanted. And by the time I turned 15, I got home, got out of the hospital, been in a body cast, and went around partying the body cast all the time, trying to hit people with crutches, busting my body cast in two, had to go back in and get another body cast put on because my bones were still moving because I wouldn't take care of myself. And about that time I called there was a program over here called Turnabout back whenever I grew up. And I called up the Turnabout program one day, and I was sitting at home, and my mom and dad weren't, everybody was there. I couldn't walk. I was dropped out of school. I hated my parents. And I was just crying, you know, all of a sudden I was crying. And I went over the phone and I called Turnabout. And a bunch of my buddies and girls and stuff were in there that I knew. And I called them up and I said, yeah, and, you know, I need some help, you know. And they said, sure, that's what we do. We help y'all, you know. I said, good. They said, what's your name? I said, Sky Eburn. Click. And they said, you won't be coming in our program. And I was like, wow. I thought they were supposed to help you. And that night they had a big business meeting. They went ahead and gave me a... took me in the next day, and they sent me home with two guys, and the two guys that sent me home were the two biggest guys. They thought I was going to burn their house down or do something, and they'd lock me in a room. They'd take my crutches and put them on the outside. I couldn't even walk, and I'd just done a lot of bad things, and people didn't trust me. You know, people were actually probably scared of me a little bit.
and went through that program. Turnabout did good for 11 months. Did the AA steps, never got to know Jesus, you know. They said Jesus would heal me because I've been in that wreck and I got a 2-inch lift on my thing. I got no feeling in my leg. And I went to church, you know what I mean, to get healed because they said they heal you at this church. So I went to church and I didn't get healed, you know what I mean? And I was like, well, that didn't work, you know. And I never went back to church. So 15, 16, when I was in turnabout, they sent me to school every day. I went through ninth grade from a third year, got through 10th grade. And then I just decided I'm going to go back to partying and I'm going to go back. I just went and got my GED. Went back to partying. By the time, within a week after I was 18, I was arrested. By the time I reached age 20, I was arrested 20 times. I've been in boys at the homes, and I've been in halfway houses and probation restitution centers and jails, and went out to my prison the first time when I was 20. Went like nothing, you know what I mean? I was like, man, this ain't nothing, you know what I mean? I can do whatever I want whenever I want to and go do a little bit of time in prison, whatever. You know, I went to chapel while I was in prison, but I didn't catch a warm feeling from it, and I didn't know nothing about it, so I quickly back off after the chaplain didn't treat me good, you know. And I got out and went back to partying, and partied from 21 to 24, just reckless. Bought me a brand new YZ125 from the Omaha shop because I don't have no license. I've had my license suspended for so many times. It was still gone for 5 more years. And I went and got me a YZ125 and outran the cops at least 100 times. That's what I would ride in and out of town. I'd get drunk, go up to Tennessee and Monroe at 2:00 in the morning, do circles, you know what I mean, till they come up there, and I'd take them around the Capitol, around the Civic Center, and I'd have 6 or 7 of them chasing me, and I'd go home and call them and tell them what I thought about them after I outran them, and, you know, just really, really sick mind, you know what I mean, just like I ran Tallahassee or something. I'd take on the police, you know. But things got worse and worse, you know, as you're doing drugs and you're partying and you're not doing anything for God and you're doing everything for the devil, things just get worse and worse and worse. So by the time I reached age 24, I sit in front of the judge wanting a bond, you know, and he says, you want a bond? He says, you already jumped bond for armed burglary. He says, Georgia's got you as a fugitive from justice, been wanting to come get you. He says, we just had a SWAT team pick you up for armed robbery. And he says, you want a bond? I said, I'd already been arrested 30-something times on top of that, you know. I said, yeah, I want a bond. He said, no bond, you know. So for the first time, I didn't get to get out and run again, you know. So got into my cell. He came back. He was coming back on a murder sentence, and he was trying to go to trial again. And he started trying to tell me about Jesus, but I didn't know what he was talking about. Another guy in the cell with me, the craziest guy I ever know, he's doing life on life with habitual 50 right now. He gave me a Bible, and he says, this is the word, and this is the truth. He says, but I ain't going to live by it. And I was like, man, that's weird. You know what I mean? I never read the Bible. I didn't know nothing about it. So I popped it open and started talking about Begat's little Gideons. Started talking about Begat. I went about 2 months past the Begat's, 2 paragraphs. I said, that's the stupidest thing I ever wrote. This is what people are bragging about? How in the world does that help anybody, you know? So I put it down, went to prison, got to prison. Got 9 years with 3 mandatory, cussed the judge out, told him I did my crime and I'll do me my time. Still proud. Got down to Lake Butler, Florida, cussing the guards out there, going off in the administration building where inmates lie, cussing them rednecks out, telling them I ain't staying here, you go pack my stuff, you know, and going off on the officers in the officer stations during count, get up and punch their window, tell them, come on out, I'm not staying here. And they said, we're going to make you stay here. And they made me stay there 7 weeks. I went to, you know, confinement, K-Wing, one of the worst places you can go to in the Department of Corrections. Ended up going over there a few times until finally they just transferred me from K-Wing to my first camp I got to. I always caused myself problems. You know what I mean? I was always my own problem. I always was prideful. I didn't want to listen. I didn't have no respect for authority, you know. And but the good time is Zach and Crack Maniac at that time. I used to tell me Crack on the streets. He was there. And he said, man, come on to chapel with me. And I said, that's interesting. You know what I mean? So I'd never been to chapel, you know what I mean? So I walked into this chapel, and there was 200 guys in there that didn't even know each other. This was a transfer camp. And they were all saying the same thing at the same time. And I was like, good Lord, what in the world? How did 200 guys know the same thing? You know, and they were all quoting John 3:16. And I didn't understand anything that the pastor said that day. It was clueless to me. But I went by the back table, and there was a little track back there. Had a little devil on it with little horns on them, not like my track. And I picked it up, and I went back to my bunk, and I read it. And that track said that if I accepted Jesus into my heart, that he would do something that nothing could ever be done in this whole world. He'd give you peace and love and joy. He'd give me a new life. And I was like, man, is that real? You know what I mean? Can God really give you a new life? And I read that track, and I went into my bunk that night, and I pulled my covers over my head, and there's people on sides of me, on top of me, all around me, and I'm weeping. And I'm confessing my sins. I started when I was 10 years old. I got to 15 years old the first night. I went to sleep. I didn't know you could do it all in one time. I never been to church. I didn't have no Baptist pastor to say, oh, you can just say it all in one time. So I went 10 through 15 the first night. Second night, I started at 15. And every month of every year, I think of all the things I did and all the people I hurt and all the, not everything I could remember. I got to 20 the second night. Officers kicking my bunk in the middle of the night, wanting to take me back in the laundry room again. They take me back there about every 3 or 4 days, you know what I mean? And but I brought that on myself, you know? And third night, 20 to 24, I said, Lord, I said, I don't know nothing about you. I didn't know nothing about Jesus. I didn't know nothing about no Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? I barely believed there was a God, you know? And I said, Lord, the only thing I know is that you came to me and saved my life when I was 14. That's all I know about you. And I said, Lord, if you're real and you can really give me a new life, I said, you come to me in a dream tonight and you saved me. And I didn't know you're not supposed to call God out. You know what I mean? I didn't know any of that stuff. You know what I mean? All I knew is I wanted God, but I didn't know what or where or how, you know? And that night I had a dream, and I went to the seashore, and the waves were billowing in, and I was screaming and hollering, telling him he had to come. He promised me in that track, and I remembered it, and I'd quote that track to him in that dream, and I'd say, you've got to come because you promised me. And about that time, I seen a figure come in the clouds, just like white lines of a figure, and it was dark, and the waves were billowing in, and then all of a sudden, everything went into brightness. And I was standing off about 50 to 75 feet away, and I was looking at myself, knelt down, and there was somebody in white, bright white, bright up the whole place. And he put his hand on my head as I knelt before him. And I woke up the next morning, and I said, man, what in the world was that? You know what I mean? I went to my buddy up front, and I told him about it. And he said, man, I ain't about that Jesus freak stuff. And he wouldn't even talk to me again. You know what I mean? He didn't want to hear nothing about no Jesus, you know? And right after that, though, they shipped me from lockdowns. I kept getting in trouble. It didn't change me overnight. I still had the same attitudes and the same things I needed to change. But from there, they sent me to a new unit, Hamilton Correctional Institution. And I got there, and I started going to chapel. You know, they sang Amazing Grace for the first time I ever heard Amazing Grace. And it said, saved a wretch like me. And I'm up there bawling in the prison, you know what I mean? Saved a wretch like me, you know? Amazing Grace. And I started studying the Bible. I took about 8 Bible studies. I went to 3 Bible colleges. I got a 4-year degree from Florida Baptist Theological College. I got a 3-year degree in Pentecostal. I got a 2-year degree in non-denominational. Got a bunch of degrees and a lot of stuff. After I got out of prison, I went and got my bachelor's at BBI, or Florida Baptist Theological College. And I just started growing in Christ while I was in there. I started reading that Word of God all day long, every day for years. I'd listen to Charles Stanley every day. I still listen to Charles Stanley every day on the radio. He encourages me, gives me good sound wisdom, you know what I mean, to walk by in this life. And I listened to old J. Vernon McGee, you know. I used to listen to J. Vernon McGee and just a few other preachers on the radio. But I didn't know nothing about God, and you have to grow, you know. And I started memorizing scriptures all the time, but and then I realized that God was a Trinity, and that really threw me, you know what I mean? I was like, what? Y'all are idiots, man. There ain't no three gods, you know what I mean? And then after I looked it up, and it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then there's three that bear record in heaven over in John, 1 John. Man, just then I got to believe what I'm reading. You know what I mean? It's one thing to read it all, but then it's another thing to internalize it until you believe it. You know what I mean? I was still having trouble believing there was a God at all. You know what I mean? Nothing was changing. You know what I mean? I filed an appeal, even though I told the judge and cussed him out and told him I did the crime, I'll do my time. The guy there said he could beat it, you know what I mean, for this amount of cookies and wafers, and he just sat there and eat my food all the time, and he never got me out, you know what I mean? But I hope I don't see him nowhere. But I started growing in God's Word, you know what I mean? And then a gal came in the ministry, and I started praying for her for 4 years that God would give me her to marry. And got out of prison in 1996 and went to Bible college, married that girl that I prayed to for 4 years, and we stayed married 24 years. Pretty good bit. That's a long time to put up with me. You know what I mean? I have a hard time putting up with myself every day. You know what I mean? I don't hang out with a lot of people because I'm the one that messes things up, not other people. You know what I mean? I just got a brain that don't work sometimes. But we got married, stayed married, and whenever I was sitting back there, we've been about a year divorced. It's been a couple years now. And I was just going through a growing time back there, you know what I mean? I was staying over there across the street. I bought a house since then and moved out to Lloyd. I go to a all-black church now, man, and they're fired up. And that pastor's nailing it, you know what I mean? He's preaching by the Spirit of God, you know what I mean? And he's nailing it, and I'm just excited, you know? And God's been good to me. I went and got my degree, got married. But man, the most thing that God's done for me is His love. You know what I mean? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know what I mean? And His grace that was bestowed upon me wasn't in emptiness. It wasn't for nothing. It was for me to go out and share that same love and that same grace that He gave to me without condemning and judging anybody else in the world. You know? I've got a love in me, man. When I grew up, we didn't like black people, you know what I mean? We didn't like homosexuals, you know what I mean? We call them queers, fags, whatever. Man, I don't care about none of that stuff anymore. Man, I love black people. I love policemen. I love homosexuals. God loves me and forgives me of everything I've ever done and everything I'll ever do. All I've got to do is walk in freedom and not tie myself up with bitterness and hatred and anger and drama. I walk in freedom every day. I mean, it is. I live a good life. I speak at the Transition House here, and I speak at the Teen Challenge right down the road, and I speak at the jail over there at Leon County. You know what I mean? I always get to do things to encourage people. The lady I brought here the other day, Betty, she lives across there. She's never been in the Bible. She just started going to church. I already took her through John, Acts, and Romans, reading through verse by verse and explaining it to her as we go along. And now we're fixing to start in Genesis and go to Revelation and learn the whole Bible as a whole, you know. But God gives me that wisdom, that understanding that I can help other people. I can do it on a phone at night, you know what I mean? God's good. Since I've been out, you know, I had to work a lot at first, but I'd go to prisons on weekends and stuff and at night. And then from there, man, I was doing 20, 25 prisons. I've done 2,000 services in the last 10 years. I've spoken to 100,000 people in the last 10 years. I haven't spoke to a church in 20 years. You know what I mean? I do prisons, you know. I do places where I grew up and came out of that I can go back and talk to them, you know. For some reason, he asked me to come here tonight, and this is the first time I shared my testimony with church in a long time. But I brought some books back there, my books back there, and the other books back there. But I'm telling you, I spent a lot of time on my knees, on my face, out in the field, just spending time alone with God. You know what I mean? Talking with Him. Lord, what is it you want me to do? Lord, I only got so much time. I got a wife, kids. I got to work. I got all this ministry I'm doing, Lord. I don't want to be of no effect out here. I don't want to just go to places, you know what I mean, and nothing happened. Show me what I need to do. And I'd say, and I'd ask Him for 15, 20 minutes, what, Lord? And I said, what am I to do? And then all of a sudden He says, I'm the great I Am. And He says, what I am going to do. He said, I said, no, Lord. I said, I'm going to serve you. You're not serving me. He says, oh, but you got it messed up. He says, when you go and speak at a place, if I don't show up, nothing gets done. He says, when you mess up with all that stuff in your mind and follow after that flesh, He says, I'm the one there to forgive you. You know what I mean? He says, I walk with you all day long. And I'm telling you, my God has been really good to me. I've answered probably 5,000 letters, sent Bible studies back to guys in prisons and jails, just constantly, all the time. Always working for the Lord. Always looking for the next person to help. You know what I mean? And guys, it all comes down to the grace of God. It ain't nothing I've ever did. It ain't nothing I ever can do. It's all in me knowing who I am in God and walking His love and His grace. And whenever I mess up, to immediately forgive myself, because He immediately has already forgiven me, and to keep walking in that grace and that love, and to keep going forth for Him. Because when I get caught up into what I'm doing and trying to be perfect before Him, I can't get nothing done. But when I trust in Him and just leave it in His hands and love Him with all my heart all day long, I talk to God all day long, every day. Every day we're talking. We preaching in my mind. You know what I mean? We're speaking. We're loving. You know what I mean? We're loving everybody we come across. I don't care who you are. I'm going to love on you. Because God loved on me like that. But God commendeth His love toward me in that when I had done nothing good in my life, hurt my family, friends, society, everything, Jesus was there with arms wide open to give me a brand new life. And if I can't come back and serve Him with that life, what good am I? You know? And, man, I love me some Jesus, though. I'm just going to share a little letter. How much time I got? What time is it? All right. No matter. This is just an example of two letters I picked up tonight as I was leaving out of there. So let me check one of these letters. Maybe not one here. He says, greetings, sir. I'm at on the All Red Unit 8 building. That's where I'll go visit 1,000 people up in confinements. My name is Adam Beagle, and you and some other volunteers made a track up here not long ago. I wanted to first off say thank all of you. I'm not what you would call a religious man by normal standards. I do believe in something bigger than us. That's a fact. What that is, I can't pinpoint or state. I'm not sure I'm supposed to. But too much has happened in my life to make me believe otherwise. Your book came to me, A New Life, through another resident of All Red. But it was the story of how it came to read that gave me pause. Perhaps you recall, but you saw that book on the run in front of a cell. So they'd thrown the book out of the cell after they read it, and it was on the run out there, and I seen my book. And he says, it was a story of, perhaps you recall, you saw that book on the run in front of a cell, just cast it out as trash. So you stopped and asked them, did you throw this book away? One said, yes, I already read it. But it was the other man who took interest in what you were saying, especially after learning that you, Mr. Hebron, were the author. So my buddy Tank read the book in a couple hours, and felt compelled to share it with others, along with the background of how he came to read it. If that isn't a case of irony, I don't know what it is. We prisoners feel as trash cast aside by what we've done in life or by others, or a combination of these. Prison is nothing but a storage shed for souls. You have to want change, and a helping hand is always greatly appreciated. Much like your book, cast out as trash, until someone you came to point out the good in it. Therefore, it was lifted and made useful. We're on lockdown now, and at the moment, so the book sits on my desk, awaiting its next reader, and so on. So he just passes it from person to person. And I've had many, that's just one letter, you know what I mean, of the book. I've I don't have any books going out, so I'm not getting as many letters in on the books anymore. But here's another letter I'll just read real quick. It says, book I was reading. Well, I grabbed the wrong letter. I don't even know what that is. Isn't that interesting? No, we'll skip that one. Another girl said she had just read my track, and that it had changed her life around. You know what I mean? Just this track. And you wonder, why did I send tracks? Because this one track changed my life around. That's why I put a million of them out into prisons. I don't want no church supports. I don't have none. God always takes care of me. I got $2,500 for this trip. Whenever I plan it, I don't have no money. But in a month and a half, I got to leave and I got to get the plane ticket ahead of time. And yeah, I already got the plane ticket. It's already been taken care of. And now the rest will be taken care of. I've done this for 10 years. I know it'll be taken care of. You know, my job is to go. And, God will take care of everything. I've never had to do a fundraiser or a talk at a church to get money. I've just always relied on God, and I work. You know what I mean? And I take as much money as I can get. Sometimes I'll be behind on my bills when I get back a little bit, but I catch them back up, you know? But it's good not to have to answer to people. You know what I mean? At least I don't have to answer to 20 churches for what they're giving me. You know what I mean? And see, that's what all my other ministries do around me. They get $250,000. They ride around these big buses. You know what I mean? Cruising. And I have to sleep with the other men in prison that just got out. I'll be sleeping with them. They got a little room for me with them. And I get to stay there. But hey, that's where I need to be anyway, right there with the guys, you know? And then I don't have to pay for it. But I'm not going to keep y'all up all night. I just appreciate y'all listening to me blubber. You know what I mean? And man, we're always growing. You know what I mean? That we haven't reached a point where we don't need to grow. Because we need to grow more in this love that we're walking amongst this earth in peace and love and joy. There ain't no more of that other stuff. You know? It took me a divorce for me to get back what I need. I was doing ministry everywhere, doing everything. But then when that divorce came, everything stopped. And but God's building it back up because He's the one that keeps me going. And I love me some Jesus, and I love me some Charles Stanley too. And glad to see the pastor. Man, y'all got a good pastor that's got a good heart down to earth. That's why I brought Betty over. She's across the street. We need to have her in a good fellowship. She's going to one church in town. But I'm going to try to get over here on Sunday nights. It started raining. She was scared to drive, you know. But I appreciate y'all. You know, I appreciate y'all as a church taking me in when I was sitting back there, never said anything to anybody. I was healing. You know what I mean? But y'all didn't bother me a whole bunch, and y'all didn't come by and mess with me, and y'all let me heal up. You know what I mean? So God bless y'all. Do you want me to say a word of prayer before I hang up this?
Give
all right.
Give me the verse, and then you can pray.
All right. You want this? Let me get that phone in case it rings.
He told me about his ministry, and you know what an incredible thing. His life, he's going to reach people we'll never even meet. And I don't just mean that we'll never meet them. They're locked away. And who's going to reach them? I was talking to someone Monday night, came to me and said, Pastor, he was speaking of a local jail. He said he's got a close friend in there, somebody I know, had been arrested. And he said, he told me there's no chaplain in the jail. And so, of course, I called the sheriff and asked directly. And he said, well, we got chaplains. And so we're working on making sure that he's connected in some way. But the thing is here's somebody who's separated from everybody he's ever known, in a population of people that we probably will never know. And when he told me what he's doing, and not just that he's doing it, when he told me, he wasn't asking for anything. He's not asking for anything tonight. But what an incredible testimony. To go and to reach those people who feel like they've been
cast away as trash. And the reality is that many of them, their family disassociates too. The Bible says this: "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. The righteous shall answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, thirsty and gave thee drink, a stranger and took thee in, naked and clothed thee, or when saw we thee sick or in prison? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Let's stand.
Lord, we thank you for such a good night. Jesus, I thank you for just loving us all day long, every day, Lord. For forgiving us all day long, every day. For being our God. For your Holy Spirit walking inside of us to show us the way, to teach us to turn from hatred and lust and hurt and pain, Lord God, onto love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, Lord God, toward all mankind. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for changing my heart. And Lord, I just pray you change every man's heart like you changed mine, and set them apart from this world, Lord God. No more to walk in the things that we used to, but to walk for you and to love for you and spend our time drawing close to you, Lord God. Wanting to know more of your love, wanting to be loved, feeling more love, Lord God. Feeling more comfort, more security. And Lord, we thank you. I pray for Betty that didn't get to make here tonight. She can come over here and be a part of this family, Lord God. I pray for this family here, Lord God, that takes care of one another like churches should do. I send meals and prayers and comfort during everybody's time of need. Thank you for a church still like that, Lord. And thank you for the pastor. Bless him big, Lord. Speak through your Spirit that everyone here can be encouraged and walk for you and come to know you as Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. All right.